Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 9th, 2013. One day, saints, at the trumpet's call, just like we heard, well, maybe not just like it. I bet the angels play it a lot better. But at the trumpet's call, Yeshua will come in power and great glory in the clouds, and he'll put an end to most of this stuff. But in the meantime, the world is in great turmoil, and most of you folks out there still just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. All this is getting closer and closer. Please make this a choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request or message. And, of course, you folks that are out there listening on radio instead of listening on the Internet, you're more than welcome to call us for any kind of thing that you need, any questions that you have, you can do that. And remember, prayer requests. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And folks that do use the Internet and listen to us on the Internet or can get on the Internet, or now with your smartphones and smart tablets and all that kind of thing, you can find updates, with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if you excuse me for just one second, I'm going to take a sip of this tea, because I ate dinner real quickly before radio. My wife spoiled me, and so anyway, you don't need to hear about that. Anyway, so let's say a prayer, and then we'll bring on tonight's guest, and we have some very important topics to talk tonight. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, please, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, because I don't know how to do radio. You know how to do everything, and only through you can we do anything. All things come from you and by you. So please, give us all ears and wish to hear the truth tonight. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, next week on live radio, we're going to be talking about the rapture. That's right. Not a favorite subject to some people and a real favorite subject with other people. Well, but we are looking for someone out there that is preacher of rapture that would like to join me on radio and my other guests to tell the preacher of rapture side of the issue. So if you would like to be on radio with us, live radio next week, send me an email or call me on the phone, and we'll talk about it. The rest of you, make sure you tune in for the live program, because even if we don't find another guest, we've got a really good guest and a real good program lined up for you next week. And, folks, Mission Watch will be back next week. We did some rearrangements and praying about it, and so I'm going to have some really good guests for you next week. But this week, there won't be a new Mission Watch. But next week, we'll be back. I just had to take a little bit of a break to pray about everything. Anyway, on another note, please pray for all the Christians that are persecuted in the Middle East. Many are being slaughtered for their faith, while others are being ran out of various countries like Libya, Nigeria, Syria, and so on. Many are caught as a whole inside of churches, the doors blocked and set on fire, thus being burned alive. Some are being beheaded. Some are being crucified. It really amazes me how all these people out on the Internet seem to be talking about prophecy and things and about becoming martyrs for Christ in the United States and all that stuff. Why are they ignoring all these Christians? I don't know. Pray for our brethren. But more than that, bring this to the attention of others. If you not stand up for them, then when the time of trouble comes to your door, who will stand for you? As for America, pray deeply, but pray for your own salvation as well as your families. After hearing about the murders and the abortion clinic of babies already born alive, it's horrendous. I cannot see how judgment is not already coming on this nation and will get worse. But now, on a better subject, tonight, a conservative investigative talk show, Ben Barrick, back on with us. He is a writer whose columns have appeared on Pajamas Media, Human Events, American Thinker, and Britbart's Big Sites. Barrick has a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism from Slippery Rock University. Really? Slippery Rock University? And a master's in business administration from the Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He also has his own radio program in Texas, and he also does work with Walid Shubat, who's been on this program more than once, who is an ex-Muslim Brotherhood terrorist. Get his book, Unsung David's 10 Men Who Battled Goliath Without Gloria. Now, are you there with me, Ben?
I am. Just to clarify, I'm not the ex-Muslim.
Oh, really? With a name like that, who could tell? Of course, it sounds more serious. But what I really want to ask you about is, what's this, Slippery Rock University, what's that teach?
It's a university in western Pennsylvania, about 50 miles northwest of Pittsburgh, and it has the largest acreage for a campus in Pennsylvania. It's bigger than the state. It just has a lot of land, and buildings are very
slippery,
far between.
What about the slippery part?
That goes back to the guy who founded the town there. He actually did slip on a rock in the river that runs through Slippery Rock. And that's why they called it Slippery Rock.
Slippery Rock. Well, I thought maybe because they were teaching you how to be slippery, you know?
Okay. No, it's something much more banal or banal.
It gave me an excuse to try to pick on you.
No problem. I'm used to it.
that could be a problem. If you get used to it, then it won't be as fun. you and I, go ahead. I was going to say, you and I have, rather, you've been most of talking, but we brought up this subject of Benghazi that I want to talk about tonight. What, clear back January or something? Or what? How long?
Yeah, with Hillary and her testimony. This really stinks on so many levels because it's blatantly obvious. I mean, this is not even anybody with an objective bone in their body. And we have right there eliminated about 48.9% of the country. We'll see this and say this is a cover-up. But what we see here is that we have a we've always known it, but it just continues to sink to new lows. The media, the mainstream media, and the Democratic Party continues to be a ventriloquist dummy from the Barack Obama administration. It's not even to the point where they sink to new lows every time. The fact that they're covering up the significance of this hearing, they're stonewalling, they're obfuscating, they're dismissing, they're saying that these hearings did not reveal anything of substance. In fact, Chuck Todd of MSNBC, on the morning of the hearings before they started, was on with MSNBC's Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, who used to be a conservative congressman from Florida, is now essentially a mouthpiece for the White House.
Right.
Chuck Todd on that show said that this was a conspiracy theory, that this Benghazi thing is a conspiracy theory. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory. What we have is it's on par with somebody dangling a carrot in your face and you telling them there's no carrot there. We have
right.
Last week, Stephen Hayes of the Weekly Standard, before the hearings came out this week, in which three whistleblowers on-the-ground accounts here we're talking about. I mean, what happened yesterday was that there were three people with first-hand accounts of what went on in Benghazi, in Libya. The first guy, his name is Gregory Hicks, he was essentially the ambassador that was killed. He was essentially his number two guy. So when Christopher Stevens, the U.S. ambassador to Libya, died at the hands of radical Islamists. Islamic fundamentalists. When he died at the hands of Islamic fundamentalists back on September 11th in Benghazi, Gregory Hicks immediately became the number one guy. He became
right.
the guy that was the State Department's top dog in Libya. And he was based in Tripoli. Stevens was in Benghazi. Gregory Hicks yesterday gave about 30 minutes. It was compelling stuff. He gave a 30-minute account of his firsthand experience of what happened that night, right down to the fact that, you know, he went into his quarters at the end of the day and was watching his favorite TV program, and somebody burst through the door and told him that Benghazi was under attack, and he went and checked his cell phone and he had missed calls. And he called one of the missed calls, and it was Christopher Stevens. And the last words that Ambassador Stevens said to Gregory Hicks was, "Greg, we're under attack." Now, you and I are both familiar with the fact that the narrative that came out of the White House, the Obama administration, was that these murders and attacks arose out of a protest that was created, that started by the anti-Muhammad video.
Right.
And this was pushed, this narrative was pushed by Susan Rice 5 days after 9/11 on the Sunday talk shows on September 16th. She said that these were protests that came out of a response to an anti-Muhammad video. But just before she said that, on her appearance on Face the Nation on CBS's morning show, the president of Libya came on and said this was a terrorist attack, and so what happened was, and Gregory Hicks testified to this at the hearing yesterday, he said he literally stood up and applauded that the president of Libya would say that. And but what happened after that was that Susan Rice then came on and directly contradicted the president of Libya by saying that there were protests and they were caused by the video. And what we also learned yesterday, and we've seen this before in previous cases, is that Gregory Hicks took a call from a lady named Beth Jones, who is a high-ranking bureaucrat in the State Department, and he was angry that Susan Rice essentially undercut the president of Libya and gave a false account on the CBS morning show and the four other shows, that she basically embarrassed him. And he asked Beth Jones, he said, "Why did she do that?" You know, and I can just imagine, because he was obviously upset about it, said, "Why did she do that?" And the response that he got back from Beth Jones was, "I don't know." But he testified further that the tone with which Beth Jones told him that conveyed, "You better not be pushing this. You better don't, not only don't I know, but you shouldn't even have asked the question." And so Gregory Hicks then relays all of the intimidation and the harassment he then received subsequent to raising that question. And,
right.
And so we now have that. We've seen this before. We've seen
right.
We've seen Fast and Furious whistleblowers intimidated. We've seen Able Danger witnesses intimidated back, during the 9/11 commission. This is a recurring theme within the higher echelons of bureaucracy in the U.S. government. And it's, It's really disgraceful. But what's even more disgraceful is the way with which, I mean, we all had, at least I did, I had high hopes, but also skepticism when I you know, leading up to the hearings yesterday, because what we saw is our Democrats that literally just were on display yesterday.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me break in here. I want to deliver that. I'm sorry, but I want to deliver that. Okay, folks out there, if you didn't watch the hearing, and maybe you're one of those people that are a Democrat, but let me tell you what, yesterday was one of the most disgraceful episodes that I've ever seen any politician do. These men that were willing to give their lives and could have very well lost their lives in Benghazi were not there talking politically. They were just there telling the truth. You could see from their actions on their faces to the emotion in them and everything. You can tell when somebody's telling the truth. And the Democrats came on and it was despicable what they were trying to do. They totally ignored the testimony and just basically was all a cover-up for two people, Barack Obama and also for Hillary, because they want to move her in next. And so I just am here to tell you that if you're a Democrat and you didn't see yesterday's hearing, and you need to get and look at the videos and see what happened, because it should make you emotionally upset as it did me. Back to you, Ben.
Yeah. And to illustrate this, you have Charles Woods. Charles Woods was at the hearing yesterday. And he's the father of one of the four who were killed, murdered in Benghazi on 9/11. He's the father of the Navy SEAL who was murdered late in the evening. And testimony basically confirmed the fact that had there not been stand down orders for the military, it's highly probable that the two ex Navy SEALs that were killed later in the evening.
Okay, go in just a minute. Go into that stand-down order, because for the people that haven't heard it, tell them what you're talking about. What do you mean there was a stand-down order? What went on?
Yeah, Gregory Hicks testified that there was military personnel on the ground that was in Tripoli that was ready to go to Benghazi, and that they were given the order to stand down, not to assist. We also had fighter jets in South Italy, southern Italy, that could have scrambled and gotten there in time to prevent the, they probably would not have been able to save Christopher Stevens and Sean Smith, who were killed at the consulate. Actually, it's a special mission compound that we still don't know the purpose of it. But they very well and probably would have been able to prevent the murders and the killings of Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty at the CIA annex. The CIA annex was located about a mile away from the consulate. And essentially, the annex realized that the consulate was under attack, and they went to go rescue the people who were in there. And they rescued, everybody except Stevens and Sean Smith. They were able to recover Sean Smith's body, but they were not able to locate Stevens, who was later found to be in a Benghazi hospital that was under control of Ansar al-Shia, the militants that attacked the consulate. So when they go back to the annex, Doherty and Woods are on the roof, and the people that they rescued are underneath, are below, and they're literally fighting fundamentalists. They're fighting militants from the roof, and they're taken. I mean, they're just it's the epitome of valor. But they didn't die until 5 a.m. when they took mortar fire. Now the attack itself at the consulate started at 9 p.m. the previous evening. So for anybody, including those who authored the Hillary Clinton Commissioned Accountability Review Board, which has a contradiction in the very title, because there was no accountability. those people who understand this, and what we got from the testimony was that there were people ready to help that were told to stand down, and that were prevented from going to assist in all of this. So all that to say, to go back to the whole Democrat thing, Charles Woods, the father of Tyrone Woods, who's been rather outspoken and who has said that when he was at Andrews Air Force Base, Hillary Clinton told him, this was on September 14th, 3 days after the attacks, he said that Hillary Clinton told him that they were going to arrest and prosecute the maker of the anti-Muhammad video. So he's got some pretty incredible testimony. But one of the things that kind of, it saddened me, because I know that he doesn't understand some things. And the thing that he doesn't understand is at yesterday's hearing, Elijah Cummings, who is the ranking member, and that word ranking takes a couple of meanings here because the guy stinks, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, Elijah Cummings from Maryland, Democrat, which is for despicable, D is for despicable, disgraceful. Elijah Cummings, as the ranking member, told the whistleblowers that death is a part of life. Now, whether or not you think that's a big deal, that's fine. What he said after that, it's how he conveyed. He conveyed sincerity and heartfelt compassion and sorrow and this and that. Well, I'm here to tell you that guy was lying through his teeth, because I witnessed this guy. And this is where Charles Woods, I think last night when he appeared on Hannity to do an interview, Charles Woods expressed hope because Elijah Cummings expressed such sincerity. And what Charles Woods does understand, that I think those of us who follow us do, is that socialists, of which Elijah Cummings is a registered socialist, Elijah Cummings is one of 70 registered socialists in the Congress, registered with the Democratic Socialists of America Caucus. And if you know what a socialist is, you know it's a communist in waiting. It's a communist. It's somebody who is desiring to be a communist. That's
absolutely. Look, we got to break in. I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to. We only got like 30 seconds as normal with breaks. Every time we do a program, Ben, you just talk so much, the time flies.
Anyway, I don't know if it's good or bad.
It's actually good. Anyway, whenever a program goes fast, that means it's a good program. Anyway, we'll be back and when we leave here in about 3 minutes. But in the meantime, go to benbarrack.com. That's BenBarrack.com. Check out his book, Unsung Davids, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us. AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19, 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight for a donation work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, of course, the homeless are poor folks, but we're talking about other people that come in that have a roof over their head that are just barely making it. You know, I was reading in the Wichita newspaper, and it was really funny how Wichita tries to always diminish how many homeless is there, and they have one number for homeless, and then they gave another number, even in the same article the other night. They said registered in the Wichita schools. Now, that's in school, in elementary schools, not junior high, not high school, that there were over 2,500 and some odd homeless children registered in school. Okay. But then they said the number of homeless before the end of the article was only like 500 or 600 people. Well, so what's wrong with that picture? Anyway, Wichita is clueless. I call it Wichita's dirty little secret. They continually, whenever the media or somebody wants answers, they go to the agencies or the city and they ask them what's going on. Well, the common answer out of all the agencies is, oh, we're taking care of anybody. And if we're full, there's lots of other shelters. Well, that's women and families. Well, you know, there are women and family shelters there. Amen. But if you call them, 99% of the time, there is a waiting list of people to get into those places. And then, even if you go through the waiting list and you fill out their paperwork, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get in. It just means if you fit into their program, then you will get in. I had, like I said a few weeks ago, and I'll just repeat it again real quickly. In Wichita, they formed, they had officers come in from another city, I think in Arizona, and came and taught the police how to handle the homeless. Well, this means that there's a new team called the HOT team, which goes out whenever, you know, they go out and visit with the homeless and try and hook them up to services and everything. And so they pretty know what's going on. Well, I ran into one and we talked, and I brought up that I was, you know, we were open, not me, but the father was open through us, was opening a woman's shelter, you know, an overflow shelter. And he said, great, that's my missing link. And I said, what do you mean your missing link? And he said, well, right now, he says, there is no place to get a woman in. He said, well, they go homeless at night or even in the daytime. And he said that thing that I told you about the shelter. But he said, even at night, there's no emergency place to put them. Really? There's no emergency place in Wichita, Kansas, if a woman goes homeless, to go in. That means if, say, it's your daughter, granddaughter, or whoever it is, if they get in a fight with her husband, boyfriend, or old man, or you kick them out, or whatever the case may be, and I'm not picking on anybody, then they're not going to a shelter. They're going to the street. You understand that? And we're talking 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 21-year-olds, grandmas. The street. To the bridge. And the police don't even direct them to the bridge. They just tell them to try to get undercover or try to get with another woman to help protect them. But we need to raise, so folks, we did get a fourplex donated to us. You know, we need to raise a few $1,000s to get this started. We need a final goal of $17,000. Sounds like a lot of money, yeah. We need to buy bunk beds, put in a heating and cooling system. That's up to date, paint and clean. Well, you get the picture. Once we open up, I know we can get Wichita to support it, but it's just getting it open because I can't get a positive review from the media until they come out and inspect what they will call the wonderful thing that we're doing, and then I can get the point across, but we have to get open anyway. If anybody is interested in helping support us, of course, even we are a church. We're not a 501c3. We're not a corporation church. We're an unincorporated church, but you can still use us at a tax deduction if you choose so. I have a business plan that I'll send anyone that's really interested in what we're doing. And you might want to try fundraising. This is a good thing that you could do with your church groups or home groups or whatever. Raise some money. It's for a good cause. Come on. These to get these women inside. Right now I know that there's at least 20 women waiting to get inside. Pray about it. And if you listen to Wichita, you know, pray about it too. We could use some manual labor too. So pray about it. And on another note, somebody in Wichita did email me and told me they found a garage that will do the needed work on our mission bus. So if you're listening tonight, thank you. That's a great blessing, and I'll be getting you the bus tomorrow. Anyway, we also need ongoing support for the Mission Church. Through the Mission Church, so many count on us for food, clothing, Bibles, prayers, healings. Well, you know, folks, that list goes on and on and on, and we got to bring Ben back to talk. I don't have time to tell you everything that we do. But people just keep coming more and more and more. So why do people come to us? Why do they come to us? Well, they come to us for love. That is the first answer. That's the Father's love. Then they're treated as family. And beyond that, really, we talked about guidelines a minute ago. We don't have no set guidelines for them to meet. We don't have programs. They just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. We pray about it. We take it to the Father. If we have something in front of us that we can help them with, food, clothing, whatever, prayers, Bibles, you know, we take care of it right then. If we don't, we try and pray it in or find them the help they need. This is why all the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We pray everything in. This last week, the cooler went down. We prayed about it. Before I could even write an update on the Internet about it, then a brother got a hold of somebody else, and they paid for fixing the cooler. But that's how it is. We don't have the money in the pocket to do it because we are consistently giving. We're the last hope for so many. We're all responsible, folks, to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or you folks that are listening on radio, just call me, 620-878-4682. And I guess I've talked enough. I pray my guest is along with me, Ben Barak, or Barak. Like Barak, you know, Army Barak. There he is.
Barak, yes.
Barak. Well, you know, I finally figured out why I keep doing that is because while I see your name written many times, I see that other guy's name written all the time, and I'm used to pronouncing his name.
That's right. Well, you know, you just have to catch yourself with the extra R there.
The extra R
means everything. It also means right.
Means right. I agree with that, and you are right. Just like you're right on in telling us about all those things. A couple of things I want to make sure we hit on during this session is you maybe ought to tell them about the emails, but also I still believe that this whole Benghazi thing is also still a cover-up for gun running.
Yeah, it very well may be. There's so many different angles to this, as there often is with these politicians and these bureaucrats and these federal
wonderful people.
but just to finish up where I left off, because I wanted to finish that
go,
point.
Go ahead.
Elijah Cummings, when Charles Woods, in an interview, he's the father of Tyrone Woods, the fallen Navy SEAL. He said last night that he sought out Elijah Cummings and shook his hand, and he seemed to be hopeful that Elijah Cummings was gonna try to get to the bottom of this. This is what people need to understand about socialists. They lie with impunity. They lie with they don't have a heart. That's what makes them socialists and communists. It's all about lying to further your own agenda. And I'll tell you, I watched when I saw Charles Woods go talk about how Elijah Cummings is really wanting to get to the bottom of things, and I watched what Elijah Cummings said yesterday that caused Charles Woods to say that, I immediately hearkened back to the Fast and Furious hearings when Elijah Cummings addressed the mother of Brian Terry, the fallen Border Patrol agent. And I went back, and I couldn't find the video of it, but I had recorded an audio of it. And I listened to him. He did exactly to Josephine Terry what he did to the families of the folks that died at Benghazi. He had the exact same tone, the exact same sympathy, the exact same expressed concern about getting to the bottom of this and finding out whoever did it, holding them accountable, blah, blah, blah-gity, blah. Well, what he did with Josephine Terry is he did not want, he didn't have any interest in getting to the bottom of Fast and Furious. In fact, at the very end, he obstructed the committee's attempts to get to the bottom of it to the very end, to the point where to hold Eric Holder, the Attorney General, in contempt of Congress for not releasing the documents that would get the truth that Elijah Cummings allegedly wanted to get to, when they held him in contempt, Elijah Cummings not only voted against doing so, but his Congressional Black Caucus, which is a despicable group anyway, because most of them are registered socialists as well, that Congressional Black Caucus walked out of the vote. Now you tell me how Elijah Cummings could sit in front of Josephine Terry and commit to her and promise to her that he would get justice and would hold accountable those who were responsible, no matter who they are, no matter where they are. How can you do that?
And I can tell you how he can do that. Let me butt in. You've got me going now. I'll tell you how they can do it, because these people are without God. They're without the Holy Spirit. And if you deal with somebody that is without the Holy Spirit, then they don't believe they have a God, the Father, to answer to, and don't believe in Yeshua, then they can just lie like dogs, because they have nothing to be accountable for except themselves, and themselves are corrupt with a corrupt system. And let's go with this, and I want to throw this out there, and I'll let you all listen to Ben, but I'm really hot. Hillary Clinton sit here when these people came, the dead came and got off the airplane, and they sit there and swore that it was still the video. The president and Hillary and all of them knew before that narrative ever went out about the video that it was Islamic extremists and Ansar al-Sharia had claimed responsibility for the attack, I think, on the same day. They knew that they were lying. You understand what that is? They knew that they're lying. Just like my son says, if you know that what you're doing is not right and you keep doing it over and over, you're not going to heaven, you're going to the lake of fire. So if you lie and you know it's a lie and you're going to the lake of fire, there is no other place for you but hell. I apologize for betting in on you, Ben, but I am upset. Back to you.
In fact, when you lie, but you do so devoting sincerity in order to convince somebody who is grieving that you're telling the truth, that's the pit of depravity. That's disgraceful, and that's what he did yesterday. And what really bugs me is that Charles Woods doesn't realize it. I do. I watched that guy tell Josephine Terry that he was going to get to the bottom of this. And he did everything in his power to prevent the truth from coming out. So he has therefore impugned his own credibility with that behavior. And then yesterday he does the same thing with another grieving parent. It was beyond disgraceful. Now, back to Gregory Hicks. Gregory Hicks, this was interesting too that came out in the hearing. Gregory Hicks received Representative Jason Chaffetz, who is a Republican who sits on the House Oversight Committee. He's one of the bulldogs on the committee. Jason Chaffetz went over to Libya shortly after the attacks. And what was revealed was from Gregory Hicks was that along with Chaffetz was an entourage of the State Department, and there was one attorney that was assigned to follow Chaffetz at every turn and to make sure that Chaffetz and Hicks, the top guy for the State Department in Libya at the time, was the attorney's job was to make sure that Chaffetz and Hicks never had a one-on-one interview. And that Hicks said that at one point the attorney tried to get into a briefing and was not allowed because he did not have a high enough security clearance. Well, word then gets back to Hillary Clinton's chief of staff, a lady named Cheryl Mills. And let's remember, let's not forget, Hillary Clinton's deputy chief of staff is a woman named Huma Abedin, who is got extensive familial connections to the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think it's at all a stretch to say that Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin have had discussions and know each other fairly well. I have no doubt. I was hoping that Huma Abedin's name would come up in the hearings yesterday because I think once that happens, we can start really unraveling some stuff. But All that to say, Gregory Hicks said that after he came out of that briefing, the State Department attorney was not in, he received a call from Cheryl Mills, and that Cheryl Mills was incredibly angry that the attorney was not allowed into that meeting. So there was obviously a hypersensitivity that existed within the State Department about Gregory Hicks having conversations with Jason Chaffetz about what really happened in Benghazi. They did not want Jason Chaffetz to leave Benghazi with information about what happened that the State Department didn't know he had. That was the implication of what Gregory Hicks said. So you have this is essentially Hillary Clinton's right hand. Now, let's look at Hillary Clinton's mouthpiece, a.k.a. Hillary Clinton's ventriloquist dummy, Victoria Nuland. Victoria Nuland was the State Department spokesman. So by definition, when Victoria Nuland spoke to the press, when she spoke about anything related to business, she was likely speaking on behalf of Hillary Clinton herself. So you have Cheryl Mills that is obviously, if Gregory Hicks is to be believed, and there's nothing to indicate that he isn't to be believed, there is all kinds of things to indicate that Hillary Clinton is not to be believed. If that's the case, you have Cheryl Mills and you have Victoria Nuland. Now, a very compelling article came out a few days before the weekend, last week, by Stephen Hayes at the Weekly Standard. in which he came into possession of emails that proved unequivocally, I mean, without dispute, that the CIA had identified Ansar al-Sharia, al-Qaeda, Islamic terrorists, blah, 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 as being responsible for the attack, that they had these talking points, and that these talking points went to the State Department on September 14th. Now, this would have been the same day that Hillary Clinton was at Andrews Air Force Base telling Charles Wood that they were going to arrest and prosecute the maker of the Muhammad video. But on that evening, Victoria Nuland sent an email to the CIA, the intelligence agency, and saying that these talking points are no good, that my superior leadership is not happy with these talking points. Okay, well, who is that leadership? Victoria Nuland is the spokesperson for the State Department, and she's telling the intelligence agency that the talking points that they have presented to her will not fly. And that, so then they tweak this, send them back to her, and that's it. That's it. We're gonna, this is acceptable either. We're gonna convene until tomorrow, meaning Saturday, one day before Susan Rice on five Southern talk shows, at which point they whitewash all of the talking points and present Susan Rice with this garbage that she spewed ad nauseum on five different talk shows. So you have Cheryl Mills, who's intimidating Gregory Hicks, doesn't want Jason Chaffetz to know anything that the State Department doesn't know, he knows. And you have Victoria Nuland, the State Department's ventriloquist dummy, telling, basically implicating herself in the scrubbing of the talking points that Susan Rice lied about on Sunday the 16th. So then, on top of all that, Pastor Dan, you take Hillary Clinton's testimony on January 23rd of this year after getting a stomach virus, after falling and hitting her head, and after getting a blood clot in her brain.
Yeah, right.
She says, what difference does it make?
Let's throw something in there that you left off about the talking points, though. I know you didn't mean to, but they were also, whoever it was that was fixing the talking points were being contacted by the State Department to change them, folks, because they were upset with it. But they also had orders from the White House to address the State Department's problems with it. So we have Hillary on one side saying, change them, and we're having Barack Obama on the other side saying, change them. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so, ultimately what ends up happening is that Susan Rice, the U.N. ambassador, who we still don't know why she was the one that went on the Sunday talk shows instead of Hillary Clinton, that we do know because it was pretty obvious that it was touchy territory. I mean, look where we are now. So Susan Rice has taken all this fire. The politically seasoned Hillary Clinton no doubt understood that it was a risky proposition to go out on these Sunday talk shows and lie to the teeth. So here we have Susan Rice doing so. But I'd like to say one other thing here, too.
Go ahead.
You have Nicholas Kristof, who is he's one example of the liberal media who is just obfuscating and running interference for the Barack Obama administration. This guy is a writer for the New York Times who said in November of last year that the Susan Rice talking point issue, that Republicans intransigence is just outrageous and that these are small potatoes. That's what he said in November of 2012. Here we are, the day after the hearing, and all of these things come out. He on Twitter today, yesterday he sends out a tweet after the hearings linking to a New York Times story about the hearings before they even took place. So yesterday afternoon, he sends out this tweet of a New York Times story. Everything you need to know about Benghazi was blatantly biased, and it was also published before the hearings took place. And then last night or this morning, he sends out a Washington Post link on his Twitter feed. He doesn't write anything about this. But he sends out a Washington Post Twitter feed, and at the beginning of the Washington Post article, they spend about four or five paragraphs talking about how what they reported after the days after 9/11 was wrong. And then they ask you to believe, as a reader of their article, whatever they're going to tell you after that. It was ridiculous. If they were wrong after 9/11 and they're willing to publish all of the stuff that they got wrong at the beginning of their article, why the heck would you listen to the rest of it? But, you know, Nicholas Kristof did an article with a Muslim sisterhood daughter back in 2011. And he was, and the article was, he referred to her as his hostess. And this was late December, late 2011 in his article. Her name was Sondas Chalabi. Sondas Chalabi is the daughter of Manu Abu Hassan. And Manu Abu Hassan is one of the 63 leaders of the Muslim Sisterhood. And Nicholas Kristof's article about the Brotherhood was very understanding and very, you know, oh, this lady, she's not like these radicals, and, you know, she's Muslim Brotherhood and Sisterhood. She didn't say Sisterhood, but, you know, he basically identified her as this, you know, oh, she's got this great Western, degree from Western universities and this and that, and people on the other side of this issue don't understand it. Well, guess what, wacko Nicholas Kristof? This woman, Sondas Chalabi, is the daughter of a Muslim sisterhood leader. You know who else is a Muslim sisterhood leader? Huma Abedin's mother. Huma Abedin, deputy chief of staff, underneath, I'm guessing, Cheryl Mills, who was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff. Her mother is a Muslim sisterhood leader. You know who else is a Muslim sisterhood leader? The First Lady of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi's wife. So we're beginning to see, I think, Pastor Dan, why somebody like Nicholas Kristof, and there's so many in the liberal media that do this, but when you look at just these individual cases, I think sometimes we can get overwhelmed with looking at the entire media and why they're so willing to run interference for this administration. Yeah. Sometimes I think it's beneficial to single out one of these guys, kind of like throwing the Saul Alinsky tactics back on these,
right,
these socialists, and single out one guy, personalize it, and profile this one person. What would be Nicholas Kristof's motivation for not covering
this?
Well,
absolutely.
What he's written in the past, you've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to break in. We've already come to the end of the program again, folks. But I'll throw in one little thing here. Barack Hussein Obama, he is Muslim Brotherhood. He's totally behind him. He wants them to win the whole Middle East. That's the whole picture part of it. Anyway, your book is Unsung Davids, right?
Yeah, and I just co-wrote a book with Waleed Shabbat called The Case for
Islamophobia. Yeah, get that book, folks. That's a great book. You need to get it. But we ran out of time with Ben, and we'll have him back on when he agrees to come back. So we'll see you later, Ben. That's BenBarrick.com. All right, bye-bye. Love you.
Bye. Yeah, you too.
Yeah. I really like him as a guest. He really does a lot. He really does his research. Check him out at BenBarrick.com or Shubat.com, and you'll check out what him and Waleed Shubat do. Anyway, remember, folks, there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And only through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. I shouldn't even have to tell you this. If you have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you, then you must be a blessing to others. Otherwise, I really question where you're at. Unlike these lying people that we've been talking about. But make sure you tune in again next week as we are warning the world as it happens. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.